July 14, 2023, it's a Wap from Pedro show. Bob from Pedro Show. Happy Friday. Started off John Coltrane doing this live excerpt from November 18, 1961. I want to talk about you. Speaking of 1961, they just found some tapes of him playing with Eric Dolphy in the band, and that just came out yesterday. Then we had Mugstar with Sunburnt and Peen's Machine. Intriguing title. And because of those Estonian software engineers with this kind of invention, I got Brother Jason Stoll. Welcome aboard, Jason.
Thank you, Walt.
Absolutely. Nice. And we want to give credit right away to Vim from the Paranoid State for making
you,
the
Wim.
Connect. Yeah. Wim, not Vim. Sorry about that. Completely different language. Sorry. Das tut mir leid. Anyway, let's. I dig this music you sent me, and I'm interested in your journey through music. So please bring your earliest musical memory you got in your mind.
Well, for me, I grew up around Liverpool, just across the River Mersey from Liverpool. But my mum was from Liverpool herself, so she grew up with the Beatles and stuff. So when we were kids, she was very much into making us listen to the Beatles, which I'm very thankful she did. So we used to listen to the Beatles a lot when we were at home and we were little kids. I think one of my earliest memories of the Beatles is Here Comes the Sun, which my mum used to play all the time. So.
George Harrison's song, I believe. There's that alley in Liverpool where those clubs are, right?
Yeah, the Matthew Street, it's called.
Right, it's kind of like a museum kind of trip.
Yeah, there's, obviously the Cavern where the Beatles used
to
play.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Which my mum had gone to see the Cavern there, gone to see the Beatles at the Cavern. But later on, there was also a punk venue down that area called Eric's. I don't know if you're aware of that place.
I played it.
Echo Man and Teardrop Explodes and all those guys used to play, and I think the Clash and all kinds of people played there in the early days.
What about this pad, Jason, that you grew up in? Was there musical instruments?
Not in our house. Like, my granddad was very much, he had a, I forget what you call them, but big organs, twin tiered organs with loads of buttons on that you could have, like a Wurlitzer sound, you could have a Hammond sound. So that was my first musical introduction who was playing like an organ, but nothing serious or anything.
Ah,
like
so
that.
You jumped on it though.
Yeah, we just play around. Me and my sister used to just mess around on it.
Well, let me ask you about school. Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
Nothing like that. No.
Okay.
No.
What was the first record you bought with your own money?
With my own money, it was the single version of the Ace of Spades by Motorhead.
Sure.
Which is a pretty cool record for the first one. My cousin was very much into like metal, like New Wave of British heavy metal and all that, so he sort of got me into it and he encouraged me to buy the Ace of Spades. So I've got him to be thankful for giving me that musical introduction.
What was the first gig you saw?
I was thinking about this the other day when I think the first ever gig was like a local band, a band called Zeitgeist, who are sort of a Sabbath-y influenced local band from Liverpool when I was about 14, 15 maybe. But the first real gig was Motorhead again.
And what about you doing music yourself? When did you first try? Except that stuff at your grandpa's pad with the organ.
I'd always, ever since getting into music around 10, 11, I always wanted to play guitar. So when I left school and got my first job, I spent my first 2 weeks' wages on a guitar and an amp. So that was my way into music. I bought a... bought a Fender Stratocaster. Well, it wasn't a Fender. It was a Fender Stratocaster copy. And I thought I'd be able to play by Jimi Hendrix by the end of the second week. But obviously, that takes many years to do that. So I took it back and swapped it for a bass. And then joined a sort of grindcore band not long after. But I didn't realise until about 2 months later that the bass I'd actually bought was a fretless bass. So my first introduction to bass playing was on a fretless.
Yeah, but you understand that's the way they all were. You know why Leo Fender called his invention the precision bass?
For that reason of having no frets?
Because it did have frets. Because all the basses before that, mostly, not all, because mandolin orchestras actually had fretted basses. But basses were usually just giant versions of cellos and violins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see? So you had to learn, you know, kind of, I guess you could cheat with pieces of tape or shit, but you had to learn where those places were, where the notes were. Now, Nowadays, they got fretted basses or fretless basses where they fill in where the frets went so you can tell you can get good intonation.
Right.
But, you know.
I must have learned.
You know, it's a trip. It seems like it was an accident anyway. I was going to ask, because you got an amp with that guitar, and when you changed over to bass, did you still use that same amp?
Well, it was actually a bass amp that came with the guitar, because it was the cheapest one in the shop.
Okay. So, you already set up for that, because usually they're built to hold low end, kind of. But probably a starter one, it was tiny anyway, probably couldn't keep up with the drummer.
No, not at all.
So what was this first band? This first band you said was a grindcore band. What was its name?
It was probably 1989 when I was 17.
No, what was its name?
We were called Solstice, but then we realized there was another band of that name, so changed it to Pathogenic.
Can you remember the first Pathogenic gig?
I do. It was in a bar in Liverpool, and I think this is what got me hooked into doing music. It was a gig, it was rammed. Like lots of people there, and it was people dancing, people stage diving, and you know, watching like loads of punk videos and stuff over the years. This was how I thought gigs were going to always be. So I think that night it really got me hooked.
Now, can I ask you about the material?
Yeah, man. I have no clue what it sounds like.
No. Was it original stuff, or were you guys trying to copy other people's songs?
No, it was all original stuff.
And were you involved with the songwriting?
I wasn't involved with the lyrics, but in the songwriting, yeah. We just used to go to John Firth, the singer. We used to go to his house, practice in his bedroom. Luckily, his mum was quite forgiving. but yeah, we just used to jam in his bedroom, and that's how we got the songs together.
This was your first time composing music?
Pretty much, yeah. I'd never really, on my granddad's organ, messed around and wrote a couple of bits and pieces, but it was never anything into a song structure. So this was the first time, yeah.
Now, does this band get into recording? Does it get into touring?
No, it didn't, unfortunately. We did, I think we did about 5 or 6 gigs, and then me and the guitarist joined another band not long after, around the same time, and then Pathogenic sort of imploded around that time. So unfortunately, there's no documented evidence that of any of the recordings of what we sound like or anything.
Okay, but you do have records of Mugstar, and I'm going to play another song here, Magnetic Season.
what you look like, if you feel good. It doesn't really matter what you look like.
Oh, that's great. Thank you very much. Great. Thank you. Watch for Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with Mugstar doing Magnetic Seasons. And we had brand new Reg Blur, I think her third solo album. This is UFOs Are Real and No One Cares. That's in parentheses, people. Tall, Tall Trees after that. Brand new. Feel good. Sprain. Also new. Privilege of Being. Noisuka. Also new. Majority Rules. Bombas Prendon. Foreign Engineer. Red Party from Chicago with Wild, Near Wild Heaven. Ray Shin after that, Back in the Ring from Reno. Miller's Grist. And then finally, Mugstar with Damo Suzuki doing Inane Wah. So enlighten us here, Jason, about you getting to be with Damo Suzuki.
Damo, he travels a lot on his own and goes into towns all over the world, works with local musicians, asks them to do an improvised band with him. So we, the promoter of this show in Liverpool, asked us if we would like to be his sound carriers, he likes to call them. So we had a few correspondence with Damo, and he said, don't rehearse any music beforehand. We'll, the cosmic energy will bring it all together on stage that night. So we had a few conversations backwards and forwards, and he kindly agreed that we could record the show, which ended up as the album with the track that you just played. But yeah, it was fascinating to play with him because we, as a band, Mugstar would improvise quite a lot in the rehearsal studio, but never really live. And something magic did happen that night because he somehow brought it together. You know, if you listen to the album, it's, you know, the way we play on it, it's very tight and it just works so well with the lyrics and the vocal melodies and stuff that, yeah, he's some sort of magician, some type of wizard who can bring this music together, bring the best out of people.
Yeah, so, I've seen him do it with Mars Volta in Australia. Oman and those guys. It was beautiful. Look, let me ask you, when was this? What was the date?
I can't remember the date. It was probably around 2015, maybe. No, earlier. Maybe 2014.
It's 8 or 9 years. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get back to your story, because we're just talking about that music. Okay, now... Pathogenic is no more, but you're in another band now with a guitar man. What's this called?
Yeah, so this band was called Devoid. It was a bit more of a death metal band. We did a few, I didn't do any gigs with them, but we did lots of rehearsing. Famously, the guitarist in the band later joined Carcass, if you know them. They were like some quite big grind death metal band in the 90s. So he joined them, and then that band folded. But they did one album, which I unfortunately didn't play on.
Now, what happened? Did you quit?
No, I got kicked out.
Whoa, well, what was that about?
Well, because he said I couldn't play bass very well.
who was that? There was like a boss man or a manager or what?
No, it was basically the singer, Louis. He basically just said, he phoned me up one day and went, yeah, we've decided to move on without you because we feel you can't really play as well as what we want.
At least he was honest, you know. Some people just
exactly.
Give you bullshit.
A bush.
Yeah, right. So,
but in some ways,
now what do you do after that, Jason? Now you're sitting there with your bass. And have you moved on to another amp? Are you still using that same little amp?
I did get another amp. I can't remember what it was now. I think it was a Colesbro amp. And then later I got a H&H head.
Uh-huh.
which was amazing.
Okay, they kick you out, so what do? You don't quit music, you get back up, right?
Yeah, so a friend from school, well, I started just messing around, recording some stuff at home, just on a tape recorder, and then overdubbing it, and like slow, heavy music. And then a friend of mine called Carl, who used to go to school with, he had a band that he was just forming, which is more of a garage rock band, influenced by some of the Seeds, you know, a lot of 60s garage stuff. So we,
I got to tell you, Jason, you know, I'm going to be 66 in December, and music to me now is just music. I ain't really interested in that genre shit anymore. I just think it keeps us apart. So, anyway, you join this band that's got a
Bit of a garagey tint, yeah.
Right, but they're guys from school, so you know these guys personally.
Yeah, the guitarist. So he asked me to join, and we called ourselves Beulah Wig, which apparently was some sort of 1950s dance. And we recorded a track I sent you called Different Kind. So that was a bit more garagey. I play bass on that and play keyboards on it.
We don't play that till the fucking third hour. Yeah. I didn't know the timeline. So I think what I did, I went in how long the songs were. So the shorter ones are up first and then longer. So sorry about that.
That's all right. So, yeah, that was the next project. That was a real good, fun project. It was the first project that went into the studio to record stuff.
What was that like?
It was amazing. It was amazing to do, to get the finished product, but very nerve-wracking the first time in the studio. I don't know how you felt, but...
No, I still do. We call it red light fever, like, because you know the thing's going to be forever, so you start choking, where if you were just practicing, it'd come, like, easy, right?
Yeah, totally.
You become your own fucking worst energy because of the nerves.
Yeah. And what you were just saying about some of the songs you played already are quite long songs, for like Mugstar.
Well, I wanted to put all the Mugstar songs together because everybody else, it seems, you gave me one song from each proj. But with Mugstar, there was three. So I wanted people to hear all together.
Yeah. Oh, nice. But yeah, like being in the studio with those guys and like doing a 10-15 minute track and not wanting to mess up by making any mistakes by doing that, that's even more nerve-wracking than doing a 3 minute garagey track.
But you grew into it because that's what you start with. How long are you with Beulah Wig?
We did it for maybe a year and a half, and then the drummer, he left to go to university. So that was a short-lived project, and then we started with another drummer, and we did a couple of gigs with him, but it didn't really last that long. I can't remember if he left, the drummer left, or we split up. I can't remember now. But
you never went back to guitar. You stayed on bass.
Stayed on bass, yeah, and I still play bass now.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. And did you ever go out, like, for other kind of learning, like a teacher or something?
I did have a guy who I used to work with. His brother was a guitar teacher, so he taught me a few bits and pieces. Nothing big. Like, I never really went regularly or anything. So
what kind
I'm pretty much self-taught.
Yeah, but what kind of bass? You know, I'm a little prejudiced towards bass, so I'm interested here.
Yeah, so, well, back in the 90s, I found a very cheap Rickenbacker. So, since probably 95, I've played a Rickenbacker. Rickenbacker 4001.
You know, they're made here in Southern California, Fullerton.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, you know who played one too? Lemmy.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Well, that was a big influence.
Yeah, I got to meet him a couple times. He was very, very kind to me. One time I was mixing my first opera, and he was in the studio mixing. He said he had an opera. He said, this is about World War I. It's called 1916. And he gave me his bottle of wild turkey. He had some bourbon.
Oh,
And he was just the nicest man. He's wearing this outrageous, you know, like gray leotards and bullet belt, machine gun bullet belt, and Nazi hat or some shit. But he was the most kind man. And I've always, like you, probably big fan.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah, I met him once as well. I met him in the Rainbow Bar and Grill.
That's where you staying out of in Hollywood. You were up in Hollywood, huh?
Yeah, this was years ago.
Okay.
About 15 years ago, I went with my ex-girlfriend, and we were there, and we knew that Lemmy used to go there. So we're like, let's go to the Rainbow Bar and Grill, see if we can see Lemmy.
Right, and there was like a video poker game or something that used to sit next
but
to.
Playing, apparently, yeah. But he wasn't there the first night. Second night, he wasn't there. So I was like, oh, we're just going to go one more night just to check. And he was there. Then I spoke to him, and he was so lovely.
Right.
To say, like, such a gentleman, so down to earth, really nice guy. And we had a brief
chat. Because methamphetamine isn't the most kind drug, you know, but... You know, whatever, his humanity came through all that. He's just beautiful to me every time. And I've heard from other cats, too. He's just really good. Look, Jason, we're at the end of the first hour here, July 14, 2023 edition. What Pedro Show special guest Jason Stoll. Hang tight for hour two. July 14, 2023. It's the second hour. What from Pedro Show. Watch for Pedro show start off the second hour with Sex Swing doing Skimmington Ride. Yeah, we're going to learn about that. After that, Ra Kalam Bob Moses with Damon Smith, Who Led You In Deeper. Then Ryan James Mabe with Four Walls. And finally, Jaw. That's Jaw with two A's, people. And the tune is called Rot. Jason, enlighten us just the Sex Swing.
Okay, so Sex Swing is a London-based six-piece band. I used to hang out in London quite a lot, and with some friends, we were discussing about maybe doing a band together. When we eventually...
Let me get this straight. You're in Liverpool. How long does it take to get to London?
Well, you can get a train. It'd take 2 hours.
Okay.
So you used to go every now and again and hang out. And then it got to a point where, yeah, let's do a band together. Okay. So we threw around a number of names, and Sex Swings seemed to be the most suitable one. It's not something you can Google the band name very easily because
you get other items. Ian Mackay would get on you for that. He would say, using a search engine, that's like calling tissue Kleenex, right?
Yeah.
Giving that brand extra power. So, sextet, does this mean it's got horns?
It's got a sax player, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Colin Webster plays a baritone sax.
Okay. Barry, yeah, like Jerry Mulligan.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you remember the first Sex Swing gig?
Yes. Well, just before we did the gig, we talking about Motorhead. The idea was for us to sound like Motorhead, do a band like Motorhead, but it ended up something totally different, as you just heard. But we did a gig at a festival in England, one of my best festivals I've been to, called Supernormal Festival. And there was an editor there from an online magazine called The Quietus. I don't know if you come across
that. Yeah, I love that fucking website.
Yeah, super great, yeah.
I think they're headquartered on the top floor of the Lexington, which I've played a few times.
Right, they are. So John Doran, the editor, was there, and he saw us, and straight after we played, he went, I want to put a record out for you guys.
Oh, wow.
So it was like, wow.
Yeah. First gig.
Someone wants to put a record out. So it's super cool. We recorded in a studio in London over a matter of a few months. Pieced it all together and put it out as a record. It came out on the Quietus Phonographic Corporation record label. I think one of three or four records that came out on that label. But the reviews we got for the album were amazing. Like, we got so many festivals, so many gig offers from doing that album.
What happens to the band? How long did it last?
Well, it's still going.
Oh, great, great, great. Yeah. And now hit me to fucking Jaw.
Okay, Jaw is quite a new project.
Right here might be the Dutch word rot for red.
No, it's rot.
Okay. It's like past tense.
What's red? It's rude. Anyway, my Dutch is niet zo goed. But anyway, do you know the band Therapy? They were like quite big in the 90s, still going now, doing like really amazing, powerful, alternative rock, pretty heavy. You probably heard some of the tracks if I played you them. But anyway, they were a big influence on me as a teenager when their first few EPs came out. But the singer Andy started liking a few bits and pieces of music that I'd put out with my record label or with some of the bands. So I had a discussion with a mutual friend about maybe doing a band together. And Jaw came out of that conversation. So it's a four-piece. Guy called Wayne Adams. He runs a studio in Haggerston in London. Andy Cairns from Therapy, And one of the most amazing drummers ever, Adam Betts, who he plays with everyone from Goldie to Square Pusher to Pulp. And he had his own project called, I've forgotten the name now, Colossal Squid. But he's a phenomenal drummer. Just the four of us together, we went in the studio, just recorded a few tracks and ended up making an album. So yeah, it was a very short-lived, because I know with previous debut albums of them, you've at least had a couple of years of practicing together and getting ideas down, but this Job record was very much immediate. I sent some ideas, Andy sent some ideas, and Wayne sent some ideas, and we put it together and made an album, and it sounds amazing. And again, we've had some really amazing reviews from that.
Understood. You got some other stuff you gave me. This is Domes and a tune called Opal. Let's listen.
on the ground, Mr. Puzzle Man. Feeling it around, doorknobs shine from cell phone flashlight. Knowing the crowns of a brother man, see him around, trashed up. Form of first form star roll. Feeling of new forms, fitting for new crowds. Filling up their town with clouds. Drilling all new holes, booking all new shows. Fighting off their brows with
show. Started that Chuck music off with Domes doing Opal. And then Trundled Colossus from, this is Vinnie Golia's latest project. It's got Patrick Shiroshi. I think there's four sax players. Sikora, Skorweski, Wedman, and Zappa. That might be a family member, huh? David Gerard, brand new with Suspended Fourth. Dan Jones and the Squids. Living on a lockdown wing. Not a lot of squids in the Missouri River, but fuck, you can call your band whatever you want. Midwestern Medicine, More Insults. Finally, Clamp with Hate You. Can't copyright a title. 21 had a great song called Hate You. Hippest to Domes.
Okay, so Domes is a Dutch-based band, but it's somehow it's all English people in the band. But it's an idea me and the other guitarist had to do like a sad song project, sort of more slowcore compared to other sort of more heavier stuff and noisier stuff I've done previously. So we again started sending back ideas backwards and forwards to each other. Got some tracks down. So we recorded the track Opal. And
you know, there's a Syd Barrett song called Opal, right?
Yes, yeah.
That ended up the name of a proj for the guy David from the Rain Parade before he did Mazzy's Star.
Yeah.
When he had Kendra in the band. Interesting. So having musical friends leads to a lot of possibilities. So they could be overseas, how do you end up getting to Holland? Well, look, this other project's called Clamp, and being spelled with a K, I'm guessing this is Dutch.
Again, it started in Holland with the guitarist from Domes, which it's a Dutch-based band, but basically it's all English people again.
You know what Sly Stone said? Not where you're from, it's where you're at. I think what he means by that, Jason, is like you can't really pick where you're born, but maybe you have something to say about where you're going to go.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah, he's still around, believe it or not. He lives in a motorhome or something. But, he made some incredible records. Anyway, some of the people in Clamp overlap with some of the people in Domes, the guitar man.
So, the guitarist Greg Wynn, he's also in Domes. And Rachel Morrison, she's the keyboardist in Domes and Clamp. So there's a bit of a crossover between those two projects.
But you got different approaches to music. Right, so when you do a project, you don't want to do a clone of what you just did, right? You want to try new, different stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I'm playing bass and playing guitar in Domes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And a bit of singing as well.
Is this the first time you play guitar since you put it down to pick up bass when you were a teenager?
Well, I've always played guitar, but never in a band.
I thought you traded it for a bass.
Oh, I did, but I bought all the guitars over the years.
Oh, okay, okay.
So, it's nice to do something a bit different, play guitar and do some vocals as well. We did it. We did the track you played, Opal. We put it on a split record with a split 7-inch with Low.
So sad about Low. They lost.
The record was going to come out on a certain date, and then Mimi passed away. The drunk
cancer.
So
sad. Terrible. And they're from a town way up north, Duluth. You know, almost on the border with Canada, with the biggest of the Great Lakes, Superior. We're at the end of the second hour. Big love to you, Mimi. She's great. Me and my sisters call my Italian grandmother Mimi. July 14, 2023, edition Why Pedro Show, special guest Jason Stoll. Hold tight for hour three. July 14, 2023, it's the third hour of the Why for Pedro Show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. Start off the third hour with Twin Sister doing Husk. Then we had Emily Dickinson and Crane. Crane writing music to Emily Dickinson poems. Oh, Shadow on the Grass. Ernest Ludwig Petrovsky. We just lost him from the former DDR, right? Relaxing with Harry. Not too much relaxing. Harry Miller is the bass man in this record. Live 1981. Nubdug Ensemble with Entracta. And finally, Beulah Wigg, people. We get to hear Beulah Wigg. Different kind. Now, Jason, you're telling me, you know, you're from Liverpool. You went and spent some time in London. Now, how did you get to, you're living in Holland now, in Netherlands.
Yeah, so I live in Utrecht. How it happened. Sex Wing played a show at a festival, a great festival called the Guess Who Festival. And a mutual, I met my partner through a mutual friend. She'd asked him for some recommendations of some bands to go and see. And they said, go see my friend Sex Wing. So she listened to it and decided not to come. Which is amazing. And then we met outside the venue at the end of the night, and then ended up keeping in touch and stuff. And one thing led to another, and we are here now. Music brought us together.
Right, right. Created a domestic situation.
Yeah,
beautiful. Now, Twin Sister.
Yes.
Well, can't rewind yet, so you're going to have to still use words, Brother Jason.
Sister is, again, with some friends. It came from a conversation. Two people, Rene and Otto, who are in a band called Dead Neanderthals. If you don't know them, check them out.
I would like to.
Drummer and saxophone player. Do like weird free jazz stuff to grind.
You know the band from Japan, Ruins?
Yes, yeah.
Is it like that?
Bits are like that, yeah.
Okay. Because he likes to play with the drummer man. He likes to play with sax people.
Yeah.
You got to hear this other project called Playhouse.
Oh, yeah.
So Let's listen to that, and you can hit me to that, all right?
You never come.
What for Pedro show. Last music for this edition, we started to chunk off with Playhouse doing Camper Van Bunny. And then Groove Crater Method, this is Brother Phil up in Mammoth Big Bear. Jammin' D, parentheses, Oggs. Maybe it's that Pink Floyd song, huh? Combat outro. Oh, it's a two-parter. Then Cella, this is Brother AJ. He works at Paradiso in Amsterdam. Beautiful guy. He's got a lot of projects. And this is a collab he's got called Cella with Apalacho. And finally, Bodicans of Doom with Agenta. So you're going to have to fill me in on this. Please, Brother Jason.
Okay, so Bonicons of Doom are a Liverpool-based mysterious collective who wear mirrored masks on the face. No one knows who they are.
Whoa!
Yeah. So I was a member once.
Can I ask you about one Liverpool venue that, and ask you if you've ever played there? It was called Heaven and Hell.
Yeah, Mugstall played with you.
That's what I thought. That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
So I'm not totally Alzheimer'd out. Okay, thank you. Okay, keep going. I'm sorry.
That's good. So, yeah, no one knows who's in Bonicons of Doom. But now I'm an ex-member. I left when I moved to Holland. I can now admit that I was in Bonicons of Doom. So, basically, it's sort of tribalish, psychedelic experience. So they could use gamelan drums on stage. With a singer who's got such a wonderful, beautiful voice, who could be a master of ceremony in what she does. I recorded a single with them and what the debut album, which Agenta is off. They are just about to release their second album in a few months. But yeah, fantastic band. They're very... Yeah, there's like an occult-likeness to them. There's something very mysterious and very wonderful about that band.
Ah, great. And Playhouse.
So Playhouse was, like in the mid-90s, I ended up joining a Playhouse. They were very much, how can you describe it, very much influenced by like Superchunk, Sonic Youth. Who else?
It's okay. I don't really need that shit. Music is music for a while. But this was like your little detour in the 90s, okay? And you were probably still living in Liverpool at the time, right?
I'm still living in Liverpool, yeah. So we did lots of shows up and down the country. We did a couple of 7 Inches. John Peel played us a hell of a lot.
Nice man.
Which is amazing.
You haven't spoke about Manchester. Did you ever play in Manchester? It ain't too far down the road.
Yeah, I played in Manchester a lot of times. I lived in Manchester for a little while as well.
Okay. Is there kind of a thing between Liverpool and Manchester?
I think maybe football-wise.
Seems like everybody wants to go to war over that shit. But what about on the music level?
On the music scene, it seems to be like everyone's very supportive of
each other. Ah, great.
And it's a good scene, especially at the moment. There seems to be like a lot of bands, or when I lived in Liverpool at least, there was a lot of camaraderie between Liverpool and Manchester and Sheffield and Newcastle and Birmingham. Everyone would be like, hey, a gig, we'll put you on, and we put them on.
And Sheffield's on the other side of the country. That's the other coast, almost. One time I drove between Manchester and Sheffield the same night because Mark Riley had us on, and it's like through this forest, and it's called the Serpentine, this road. Yeah, it was pretty trippy.
Yeah, it's amazing, yeah.
Yeah, it was. It's really neat. And some ways of touring in England reminds me of touring over here sometimes. What do you got going right now? What's current? What's the next big music project you got going?
We just had the Jaw album come out in May, so less than 2 months ago. So we've got some shows with them in September. just in the UK. And then we've got a Sex Swing live album coming out. And we're recording a new Clamp album and a new the debut Domes album. Oh, and also a Twin Sister album. So quite a lot.
Yeah, a lot of these are ongoing concerns. And how do you do that being in Utrecht? Do you guys mail files back and forth?
Well, with Sex Swing, what we've done, we've gone away for weekends and had like a writing weekend in the middle of the
show. Yeah, it makes sense.
Because then at least you're hanging out together.
Sure, sure.
You know, and it's such a fantastic thing to do. And it really works. Like previously with other bands, we've always rehearsed regularly, been in the rehearsal studio once a week, twice a week. But yeah, having a family now and stuff and kids, it's a bit more difficult to do that. So having these weekends where you can go and write is a lot more easier to do.
I think the last two times I played Utrecht was at this, it's a venue, but it's also got practice pads.
Yeah, it's a brilliant venue called DB's.
DB's, beautiful. In fact, I started two tours at that pad. But it's not just playing for people, it's other bands getting their stuff together. I love that idea.
Yeah, it's great. It's going to close, unfortunately, though.
Oh, shit.
Nothing
good lasts.
Build it up, it's on top of it.
You know, the old place was the Tivoli, right? Down, and then that turned into some big monstrosity, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, the only thing that stays the same is change. Look, when you get some of this new stuff, new music made and stuff, will you come back on the show and we'll play it and talk about it?
Oh, amazing. I'd love that. Yeah, cheers, Walt.
Yeah, absolutely. So what you got coming up right away as far as live shows is this Jaw. Where can people go on the internet to find information about Jaw?
Yeah, so you can have a look on the Jaw Bandcamp, which is jaaw.bandcamp.com.
Got that, people? There's two A's in Jaw. They spell it a little different.
Yeah.
That's smart.
It's our initials.
Ah, that's even smarter. That's even smarter. And I want to thank Wim so much for making the fucking connection.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Wim.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, nice to chat.
Absolutely. So until next time. Keep on keeping on, Brother Jason. People, it's been July 14, 2023, edition WAP Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.